I knew I was going to be a singer since I was like 5 or something. These boobs, God bless them. They are paying for my new real estate ventures, let's just say. My warmth is from the love of my family. Keeps me
Wait.
warm. Mommy likes to be sexy. Miss Titties, USA. Everyone knows these boobs. I'm on my journey. I'm doing my thing. I'm saying yes to life. I love life. I like going through shit with him.
And meanwhile, you party like a wild
Oh,
animal.
fuck yeah.
Hi, Caroline.
friends for a long time. Don't know my name.
I've just been talking so much today. Today we have Caroline with us on the extra stage. She is a model, singer, a sex icon,
That's very generous. Thank
and
you.
almost mom to 2 boys.
Yes.
Congrats.
Thank you.
So tell me, how are you feeling?
I feel large.
You
I
feel big?
feel hot, but I feel happy.
You look ravishing.
Thank you.
You
Coming from you, that's high praise.
just stop. Your legs look like you're not even pregnant. Do you
Oh.
ever even swell? No.
Not really. I didn't have that symptom. I'm anemic this
That
time, so I'm
symptom.
feeling very dizzy.
Do you eat meat though?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to eat a little bit of meat when you're pregnant,
Yeah.
for iron. So tell us, are you excited for the second baby? It's wild.
I am thrilled, but I definitely worry a little bit about. I know Nico, my husband, is concerned a little bit about losing his individuality, because I know that right now he already feels like after work, it's like coming home, and the second job is obviously to take care of the baby. So I think he's a little bit concerned about that. So that does creep in. You worry that you're gonna like lose the sense of who you are, but I don't know if that's in my character. I feel like I'm still gonna be me. I'm still gonna do my thing. The baby's in our life, you know? But with two, I'm sure you're my only friend who has two, so I'm gonna be coming to you for a lot of advice. But no, overall, the feeling is excitement and just obviously, you know, the wonderment of like seeing the kid experience things for the first time, and that trumps everything else.
Was it planned? Was it
It was
important for you to?
forced. Poor guy. I was like, I'm ovulating. Let's go.
So it was planned.
I really wanted to do it close because my sister and I are 14 months
I
apart.
that was my next question. Was it important for you to have
Yeah.
siblings? Because you and your sister, it's like,
Built-in best friends.
it's like I can't even explain. You're just like, you know? So I
Yeah.
feel like it was so important for you, right? And I was right.
It was. Yeah, that was important to me. Plus, like for my physical self and my mentals, everything, I wanted to just kind of not get it done, but
It
do
is the
it, you
true.
know?
Yeah, it is true. You have
And
to get
then,
it done.
yeah, I wasn't gonna like totally go back to whoever I was before in between. So I kind of, and that's not to say I'll ever go back because of course I'll be forever changed. But I think after the two, then I can really say like, okay, I'm back on track with like physically and everything, and even though I like it, you know? I know a lot of people aren't comfortable being like large and different, but I fucking like it.
I was the same.
Yeah.
You know me. I was just like, I'm
Letting it
pregnant.
all hang out
Yeah.
everywhere I go. Everyone's like looking at the belly out of the corner of their eye when I'm in line for TSA. I'm like
I mean, yeah, going from one to two, is it hard for you to have one kid?
We are pretty lucky.
Okay.
I feel that Miro is
He looks so chill.
he's pretty chill. And I feel that we're lucky in that regard. We're going through some stuff with daycare because he gets so fucking sick there, like to the point where we knew it would happen, but like
It's gonna
not to the
happen for the rest of your life. They go to school, you pay $30,000 for private school or whatever
In
you pay in
Canada, it's
Canada.
$8 a
Eight
day.
dollars a
Sorry,
day,
everyone.
like a bitch, but they go there for a week and they're sick for two. They go there for a week and they're sick for
Yeah.
two. That's a normal.
I don't want to come for parents that I know I'm in a unique situation where, and we'll get into like money making and all that stuff and motherhood, but I'm in a unique situation where I'm able to make a living and a good living, but also be present with my kid because I have the time. So I understand that I have that privilege, but other parents maybe can't do that. They have to drop their kid off and they have to go to work. But it seems like if they're really, really, really sick and contagious, maybe keep them home. It's just frustrating because for us, now that we have a newborn in the equation, we just saw our friends, they have a newborn and they had to be in the ER with the 1.5 month old for like a week because the other kid brought stuff home from daycare. So that's just like a little bit of a concern. But beyond that, he's a breeze. He's really sweet. And he's, I can't tell if he knows. He like kisses it when I ask him to.
He does. I don't feel like they do at that age. He's too little, you know, almost too little. I feel like by three, they kind of understand everything.
Okay.
By two, I feel like Anna Sofia didn't understand anything. Interesting. Like, what was in my belly? Like, but I don't know.
Was she accommodating to, like, having a sister or?
Yeah, she was scratching her face, pushing her around, and now they're best friends. Just like probably you and your sister were, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, two, I don't know, if you come into my advice after.
I will be, and I am.
The kids, second kid, I guess the change is beyond. Because if you had, you know, hands for one kid, now dad takes care of one and mom takes care of another, and you have no time for yourself. Like, no time for yourself. You kind of like give up on yourself for a while. I'm not saying forever, but like at least like that baby stage when they have to be cared, they can't walk, it's like a lot of hands. You know, you need a lot of hands.
I want to get my strength back. I feel like I'm just on this past trip, we were in Mexico for 3 weeks and I was so slow in the heat. Like the baby literally at one point took two steps in the pool and went straight down to the bottom. And I was like, of course it was a 1 second
reaction.
Did you
jump in?
I was in with him. I just had to reach him up and it was okay. He didn't even notice. Mm-hmm. But like in my mind, I was like, oh my God, my reaction time is so slowed down. So Nico's really had to be like super dad for everything. So I'm excited to be able to help in that capacity again. I know I'll be with the new baby, but I think we're going to find our balance. I hope so.
Do you have any help? I know you like raise your child yourself right now, right?
Yeah.
And I like really love that about you.
Thank you.
I think a lot of my friends don't get it why I don't have help. And, you know, my mom helps me, but she travels a lot for vacations and to be with my dad, obviously. And then I'm alone for like 3 months, 4 months, and then she helps me. But how do you feel about the second baby coming? Will you have some
We
help?
Do have the support of Nico's mom. Same. She lives kind of close by to us, and she's always trying to make herself available for us, which is really helpful. She came for a week of the vacation, and it was like night and day to have her help.
She came on vacation with you guys? Nice.
We realized that we're probably going to be able to take like one family vacation a year, and we're going to really want to have like someone in the family with us to participate in the helping of it. But day to day, it's just us two. Sometimes we will maybe have a babysitter if we want to go out, but we kind of make it work. Like if I have a job and I have to leave for a couple of weeks, Nico will call his sister, call his mom, and he'll figure out a schedule where he can really take it on. And then 90% of the time it's me all day with him. And then when I have like a shoot or something like that, we either have help or Nico will pick up the slack.
And who cleans and cooks in your house?
So Nico is more clean than me. He also is a better cook than me. but he's really taught me, like, I used to, and I'm sure you know, like, how we were two wild gals, babe. We would just be like, at least I was living out of a suitcase.
Yeah.
I would be like, wherever the next job is, wherever the next trip is,
let's go. I know where this leading, yeah.
And I never had that sense of like house pride or a home like foundation. Home,
like in general.
Putting roots down. Mm-hmm. Like, and he really instilled that in me. Like, we really value how we're building our home together. Like, before we go to bed, we always make sure the kitchen's like sparkling. Like, that's really him.
And it's a learning process for you.
It is. But I like it. Like, I really value it now. Like, I'm proud to say like that we really have kind of a good system.
Yeah.
And it sounds simple, just like cleaning up the dishes. But that kind of thing like really does make you feel like when you wake up in the morning, like starting a new day. And so he's good about that. He's been teaching me a little bit to cook, but I swear, like, especially pregnant, he'll come home from work and cook me dinner. It's so nice. I try to do like the morning shift. Like, I'll do like his breakfast, make sure he takes his vitamins, and then sounds when he comes so cute. Home, he knows I'm tired, so he'll usually take over the dinner. It's really nice.
Okay. So going back to yourself, beautiful Caroline. Crazy ass bitch. Tell us a little bit of like where you came from and how did you ended up in LA and how kind of your career, you know, where it is at right now.
I grew up in Northern California.
You did where?
In Marin County.
Okay.
Just like north of the Golden Gate Bridge.
You know, your Wikipedia says you're from Washington, D.C.
I was born there.
Okay, you were born.
Good of you to wiki me, babe. And my dad is German. My parents split up when I was really young, but every summer my sister and I would go to Germany to visit him.
So you kind of grew up with a single mom.
Yes, 100%. It was just the three of us versus the world. It was so nice.
You liked it? Was it at any point hard for your mom or for you guys? Or you didn't
feel that? To be honest, we didn't. I don't remember wanting or needing for anything. Mm-hmm. Yes, we lived in like a pretty affluent area. It was only because my grandparents lived there. Mm-hmm. And so my mom wanted to be close to her mom. But we were the ones like living in a one bedroom apartment, the three of us, totally cool. We had no, my mom didn't make us feel like there was anything lacking, you know? And we went to school with some kids that were like driving Hummers and to BMWs to school. And everyone wanted to hang out at our house because my mom was like, I don't know. She was just kind of not one of our peers, but we didn't have to hide anything from her. You know what I mean? It felt really, it was a cozy upbringing. And I'm so grateful that I didn't have a lot handed to me because even though, of course, I was comfortable and happy, like I had to leave the house at 17 and go get a job. And like that is an important part of my story that I'm like grateful for. And that's what I did at 17. I was like, I'm not interested in college, nothing. I want to start my life. I knew I was going to be a singer since I was like five or something. I knew I wanted to do it. So that was the thing, LA, like you have to, that's the next closest best place. So
then when you were 17, you decided to move to LA to become a singer.
I did.
How did that go for you?
I was like, but I'm the type of person where I could be like, I will sleep on this park bench or have all my shit in my car until I figure it out. Like I'm not, I've never been, for better and for worse, I've never really been like so concerned about how I was going to make it happen. I just knew that I would. I had faith in myself. And so I just got a job. I was working as a hostess at a restaurant in Hollywood. And then, you know, of course you say, oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to really do the work. But of course you're kind of just young going out networking and all the things that you kind of say.
You're just young and wild.
Yeah. And I just started meeting like a lot of different people. I was meeting a lot of different producers. I was kind of trying to figure out like what my sound was. And for a long time, I thought I was doing like an R&B thing, which I did love. And
seriously?
Yeah. And then I randomly like got introduced to Scott Storch through someone I was dating. And I went there. And so I was, that's why I was in Miami. And that's kind of how I know all the Miami people, because at like 18, I lived there for 6 months and I worked on an EP with him, which was a whole wild ride in and of itself. And then I came back to LA, same story, just kind of building on my contacts, writing music, trying to kind of see like what it would be. Then I did the whole American Idol stint and I was just like,
you did?
Yeah, randomly I did. There's
something out of that I don't know about you.
They the thing with American Idol is that they don't want someone who like, because I knew Ryan Seacrest through another guy I had dated and like he was a friend. They don't want like someone who's like been in Hollywood and like sitting in the corner reading Dostoevsky. Yeah, yeah. They want someone who's like, I'm from Kentucky and I have like my golden chance. And I'm like, and I wasn't really that way. I didn't have
that. Like that American dream kind of. And you.
Which is great for TV. Yeah. Love that. But I wasn't really that. I was kind of like, oh, hey. Like, and it was a nice experience. Very humbling and fun. And then, gosh, what did I do then? I lived in LA for 10 years. Worked every kind of job you can imagine. Retail. I did bottle service in the nightclubs. I did all that.
Yes, I know about you.
Yes. That's how we met. That's how I met all the girls. And
so you never studied anything? Because I think that's how you guys all met? Okay.
No.
I never went to school, so no judgment.
Yeah, you said that. I was. Yeah. I wanted to know more about that because I actually feel like we never talked about that.
There's a lot of things we never talk about, you know?
Well, you were plucked out of obscurity very quickly and like you were on your way. You knew what you were going to do.
It was also hard.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it was. I moved to Japan and then I never finished school. I never studied anything. I was just trying to survive, just like you. I was the same. Sometimes I slept on the street. I had no money. Then I'll make $300. And I'm like, okay, I'll, you know.
But aren't you so glad that that was the case?
Yeah, I mean, when you're that age that me and you were, you kind of just, you go with it, you know. You have no chance. You have no choice. Yeah. I mean, you have no choice to, like, go back home. That's not an option, you know. And you just have to make it. Or you live on the street.
I'm just impressed because look at where we're sitting now. Like,
yeah, I'm really proud of the person you became because
thanks. It's so
you know,
nice.
We both were like literally in other people's eyes, a party girls, a wild girls.
We've been told this by dear friends.
But dear friends, so yeah, like our good friends told you that you're a party girl, no one will marry you. And I think it really hurt you at the time, right? Which
it's just so not about that. It's not about becoming some other version of yourself to fit a guy to marry you. Like, that is so not where my head's at. My thing is, I'm on my journey. I'm doing my thing. I'm saying yes to life. I love life. Like, and that's what's going to attract my partner. And that's what ended up happening. Like,
yeah, you don't want to change for someone.
Absolutely not. And that's the thing that I was disillusioned by the comment, because it made me really feel like the friend just didn't know anything about me. Because if you know me, I'm never going to fit a bill of what someone else wants me to be. That's just not who I am. Yeah. And when Nico and I met, like, we were both so wild. Like, our seduction phase, we call it. Like, we were going everywhere, like, bar hopping, staying up late, you name it. Like, we were that way. But then when we decided to take the next step, we were like, we're ready for this new phase in our lives, which is obviously so much more tame and family-oriented. And we have that, too. You don't have to be one thing or the other. And so that's
why. And it also doesn't mean, you know, like, it doesn't mean you're a bad person if you're like a wild. Like, that's like sometimes like.
Babe, being wild is like, I love that part of my brand identity. Let's go with that.
No, for sure. And I'm like people like have told me, like, you're so wild. You'll never have kids, right? Because you don't want it. I'm like, what do you mean? If I like to have fun, I don't want kids. Like, fuck off.
No,
you
know? That's the that aspect of you is what is probably going to be very important to your children, to see that in you, that you like to have fun, that you have a well-balanced life, that you've done things. Like, can you imagine if we hadn't said yes to all those crazy things we did, and then we're sitting there 45, 50 and having a like midlife crisis? Bored. Like, no, I'm happy things panned out the way they did. And I do feel that connection with you, because we have talked about that. And it's nice to feel that we're women, we can do it all. Like, there's no reason why we can't have both. You know what I mean?
So where did your party girl go? Do you put it into your kids, or are you waiting until your kids are like 10, or are you just kind of like cool with your life now?
I don't know. Between the two kids, like, I still, you know, had a martini here and there and had fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just don't have FOMO. Like, even coming back to LA, normally I'm really like, oh, I miss it here. I love LA. Like, I have so many fond memories. But this time, I don't know. I'm just like, we're nesting in Canada. We're building our lives in Montreal. Like, I feel I'm in a different phase. And so, no, I don't really miss it. Of course, I'm still going to once a year want to like take mushrooms with Nico when there's a babysitter. You know, of course, we'll still like be ourselves. But I don't know. It's, you can't have a hangover with a baby. You can't have a hangover with two babies.
You can't have a hangover with a baby.
Impossible.
And I don't even go for dinners with Brian anymore, because we'd rather like, it's going to sound so bad and nerdy, but we'd rather go on a bike ride.
That's so sweet.
And like sit on the river and just hang out with each other. Because I know if we go out and have a martini and next day it's just ruined for the both of us. Because we're really bad hangover people. We just fight, you know. It's just like, you got whiskey. No, you got whiskey. So we better not hangover and not tired.
Yeah.
However, I don't know. Maybe it changes, you know, when they grow up a little.
It will. It'll ebb and flow, I'm sure. I'm not worried. I don't feel like I'm missing out. Like, even when you watch, like, people at Paris Fashion Week this time.
I'm like,
you
ugh, just, right?
I want them to have fun. I like that they're having fun. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't miss running around. I did it. It was so fucking fun. It was so cool. I chased around the French lesbians. I loved every minute of it. But I'm just like, it was, I don't know. I feel fulfilled now.
Can you tell me about Nico a little bit? Because I personally met him once, maybe.
You met him
in Miami, right?
He was on a phone call and you were with the kid and you were only there a short time.
We and I was pregnant too. Yeah. So you met Nico at the rave, right?
So I was in, it was December 7th, 2019.
December, so it was right after before, the holidays.
Yeah, right before, no, just before.
Oh, December, so, okay, right before the holidays, okay.
And I obviously remember the date because that's actually my due date, and it's the day we got married a year after we met, so it's kind of a crazy day for us. But yeah, I was dragged to a party with a friend of mine.
Where?
In Miami during Art Basel.
During Art Basel. Who'd you go with?
You know Violet Chachki, fabulous drag queen?
No. Of course
you went. We were dragged, drag queen. We were dragged to a party of a friend of ours, and it was very much like a house thing, and I know you like that, but I'm like not, I'm like a hip-hop girl. Like, I wanted my R&B.
You're a hip-hop girl? I like, it's whole new Caroline for me.
I know. Nico has sort of broaden my horizons on house music and stuff. But anyway, I was like, this is not my scene, but it took us so long to get there in some crazy shuttle bus. So I was like, we'll have one shot. And then we see Nico sitting on a speaker. And my friend, Violet, I mean, she was out of drag, Jason, said to me at the time, like, that's the hottest guy here. Like, we need to see, is he into you or is he into me? So I did literally one of these. Straight at you.
Is he a little bit, like, gayish looking?
Like, why? The gays love him.
Gays love him.
Yeah. Again. And he came over, like, in a little, like, cloud. He says he floated over. And I was like, who do you like more, me or him? And he was like, you. And that was it. Like, ever since then, so I took him home with me that night.
You kind of went for him.
Yes. I'm the aggressor.
Okay. Normally. So you were a first night, one night stand, kind of. That's how it started.
Well, interestingly enough, everyone I've ever dated,
yeah,
I pretty much slept with right away.
So did I.
But I haven't pregnant. Really had a one-night stand. It's like, you know, when you know, you know. Oh, if it's not on, I'm not fucking you.
That is such a good point. And you know? I really agree with you on that. Yeah.
But I don't hold myself to any kind of, like, second date rule or anything. Like, when I saw him, I was like, this is an attraction.
Like,
I
like him. I feel the energy. Like,
the first text I wrote him the next morning, well, I sent him a really hot selfie of, like, the mirror above the bed, a sexy nude, the best nude I ever took. And then I just said, like, where is my boyfriend? Like, it was already so sure in my mind. And we hung out those 2 days in Miami. And then he happened to come to New York, where I was living at the time, the day after Christmas. So then my mom was in town. So we met my mom. Things just moved pretty quickly. And then when the pandemic, then I had a little tour, an East Coast tour, and he came with me. And it was like me and my guitar player and my manager and my makeup artist in the car together, all crammed together. And he was with us. So
he thought it was so cute.
Yeah. And he was just along for the ride. Like, he's so, but I'll tell you, I remember the moment when I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. It was when I went back to New York and we had been talking nonstop. And I had had this date with this other guy planned from before, because it was a date to the opera, which of course I really wanted to go. And he was a sweet guy.
And you invited someone?
No, well, I didn't cancel the date, even though, like, Nico was the only person on my mind.
Yeah.
I still went on the date because
it
was La Boheme and I wanted to go and the guy was sweet. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about Nico the whole time. So when we finally talked, I said, you know, he's like very unironically said, like, so how was your night? And I knew he could tell because it was like a 7-hour period. Really? We didn't talk. And I said, you know, to be honest, I did go on a date, but I couldn't stop thinking about you. And his answer was the thing that, like, made me realize. He said, I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you that you don't owe me anything and I'm not your boyfriend, but I don't want to see other people. And I feel some type of way about you having gone on that date. Like, I'm upset. Mm-hmm. And it was just so honest. Like, who the fuck is nice and honest like that?
Yeah.
Like, other guys would have been like, oh, I'm going to get this pussy then if you're doing that. You know what I mean? And I mean, I guess it's fucking Canada. I don't know what it is, but I was so surprised. I was like, this guy's honest and
so nice. And
yeah.
It's such a, like,
he fresh... wasn't putting pressure on me either. He's not like, you have to be this thing for me. Or it was so refreshing. So that's when I was like, okay, that's it. And then I went to go visit him in February, just before everything went crazy with the pandemic. And
that's when you moved to Canada.
Yeah. When the pandemic started, I literally March 12th, I had a flight there with one suitcase. I ended up living there for 6 months. He had this little studio apartment. We were like, this should be scary, but it's actually fun. We would.
There you was had a good time.
We were like kids again. And then that was it. I was just fast tracked to. Then we got married a year later, that same day that we met.
Okay. So it went fast. So tell me a little bit, you know, because I met you, what, 5 years ago?
It's that short? Maybe you're right. No, it was because we came on my 30th birthday to the Bahamas, and that was our first, like,
and now you're
big hangout. And now I'm going to be 36 at the end of the month.
So, okay, 6 years ago. So I guess 6 years ago, and you were in relationships. He didn't really let you be yourself a little bit, right? So how is Nico kind of deals with you and lets you be you?
It's funny because in retrospect, I realize now that you can have so much love for someone and really be in love. But unless you're understanding the way that they need to be loved, love languages,
love
for
languages,
instance,
yeah,
it might not resonate. And that's what the frustration comes from, because there is love and it's real and it's important.
I know. You guys were so cute and you both are really nice and no one kind of, like, upset at each other.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out.
Yeah. I think I should have been a little more soft with it. I think I was really aggressively like, I am who I am. And God for that. I wouldn't change who I am. But I know a lot more now that I look back on it, but
Okay, so you think that relationship actually taught you something that you maybe corrected in your next relationships with Nico, right?
I just couldn't understand why, if because we were friends for so long before we dated, friends for 15 years, like you had all the chance in the world to see who I am. Yeah. So I felt like now you're trying to come and tell me to change it. Don't wear this. Don't say this. Don't try this thing. Oh, I saw you smoking
a
cigarette.
He's like super Latin, you know, maybe it's in their blood a little bit. You know?
In his way, I think that was his way to try to be really loving and, and kind of look out for me, I guess. But, you know, that's why when I met Nico, I don't know. And I hate to compare. I don't mean to do that. But it was the first time I felt so free in being loved by someone.
Is it just so easy?
It's easy.
You guys? Do you fight?
It's easy. We fought when the baby came for the first 2 weeks.
We almost broke up after second baby. It's hard.
Because you're just so tired and
so exhausted.
You know, you don't have the conversation of, you have a lot of conversations when you're courting each other, but you never talk about like, what do you think of formula? You know, you don't talk about that kind of stuff. And like for me, the formula was the devil. I don't know why. Yeah. And now I don't think that, of course. But
did you breastfeed?
I did, but it took a long time for the milk to come. So those 5 days while
I
was breathing.
You had a hard time.
I couldn't get him to latch, I had to only pump for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I was still grateful he had my milk. That was the most important thing. But Nico's over there like, hi, the baby needs something to eat. And I'm like, formula's the devil and we're all going to die. And he's like, okay, but the baby has to eat something. And I was like, how dare you not understand? And it's like, I'm grateful that we have those differences. But even though, yes, we sometimes come to a head with things, I like going through shit with him. I like figuring out what to do with him. Like, I like to be thrust into a situation where I'm not sure how it's going to work out and we have to sort of not argue, but talk it through.
Yeah.
I like doing it with him.
Well, it's healthy to argue and it's healthy to have healthy kind of fights, you know?
Like, I want to learn to be more accommodating for him and learn what he needs. Like, that's exciting to me just because of our...
So do you think because you learned so much from your previous relationships, you kind of change a little bit for Nico?
Isn't that ironic? Because the minute someone's not telling you, I need you to change, is the minute you want to be more accommodating to their needs.
I know.
And that is true. That did happen for sure.
I think it comes with age a little bit too. You know, when you're 25, you're like, this is who I am. Take me. And then, you know,
I was so that way. I was hard-headed like that.
Yeah. Like even with Brian, like, you know, sometimes this is me, but then, like, you know, I have to learn things that makes me more grown up, right?
Yeah.
We have to.
I think, yes, to go back to the thing of, like, is there arguments? That I think, for me, what I've found is that getting along is not a problem. Mm. Life happens at us, and we face it together, and that's not always easy. And we do have disagreements. But we don't disagree about getting along and respecting each other. And that is such a godsend. I feel so blessed for that. I say I'm lucky and I'm blessed, but I also saw those qualities in him and chose him for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, he obviously chose me too. But like I keep saying, oh, I'm lucky, I'm lucky. No, I manifested it and I was like,
manifested it.
My daddy issues are flying out the window. I'm stopping the pattern here with you. And I chose that. So I'm proud of myself that I.
It's amazing.
Even through my party girl phase, as they say, like I knew who I was, I knew what I wanted, and I just waited for it. I'm really proud of myself for that.
And meanwhile, you party like a wild animal.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay, so you moved to Canada and it's a huge move. Like all your life you knew it was in LA, New York.
Yeah.
So tell us, what do you do now? Tell us about the move. Tell us about Canada.
I feel safe there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be like a fair weather American and just say like it got weird, Trump, etc.
It really got weird.
I'm out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because of that necessarily. I did obviously move for love and it happened that way, but I feel very safe there. Obviously, it's nice the idea that I have free healthcare. I'm finally a permanent resident, so I have those benefits. Of course, it's a big adjustment, but that's just in my nature. I'm the kind of person like you know how it is too. You've traveled your whole life. Like I can just kind of go. Like Shay and I would do Fashion Week for those huge like 6 weeks or whatever, and she'd be so like, I need to get back to my routine. And I was like, but we can extend and go here. Like I didn't understand that feeling. Now I have more of a sense of like roots and foundation and home.
Because
so
you
I
had
crave
kids
that.
And you need it.
But for me to move there, I was like, where do you live? Yes. And they have a sick food scene there. So I'm well fed and I'm very happy. It's only an hour from New York.
Aren't you cold?
I'm cold. But like coats are fabulous. I have so many nice coats, so I can wear them. You're right. I did have a caveat, though. I said to him, like, can we please spend a little time in LA between February and March when it's 6 months of winter? I need
It's really cold.
You to know. Everyone to know. Is this...
I'm like, who is there?
I need everyone to know. It is 6 months of winter.
Audience.
It is Arctic. In June this year, I wore a puffer jacket. That's offensive. I was like, I did.
In when? Time. In January?
In June.
In June. What?
I know. I was... That was rude of them.
Well, I moved to Aspen now, and it's... What is it now? November?
You had a cold summer there. I felt like I saw that.
No, summer was really hot.
Okay.
But now it's starting to get cold and I'm not ready for it at all.
It's a big, that is a big shift. But, you know, we're nesting. The first baby came in the winter. This baby's coming in the winter. Like,
So it's cozy.
Yeah.
It's cozy.
I'm okay with it. People are saying, like, how did you move from California? But again, like, my warmth is so cheesy. Oh, my God. My warmth is from the love of my family. Keeps me warm.
We say so many cheesy on this podcast things that don't be ashamed of that.
It's true, though.
Everything is so cliche, but now I understand why people keep repeating them. You know what I mean? It's like you have kids and they make you just so happy. Like your heart just, you don't give a fuck, you know, about like the money, about like the fashion weeks, about any of this crap, you know?
Yeah.
But you never finished your story. So... How did you become like a fashion icon? I remember
That's
you went.
That's so nice of you to even say that.
I remember you went from, you know, obviously you have your singing, but then Corinne Rothfeld really fell into you, right?
And I know she also like was such a big part of your career too.
Oh my gosh, it's about you.
I know, but still.
She was really supportive of my career, and I'm really grateful for that.
She just, I don't know why, she kind of just gave me like that chance, you know? I wasn't like necessarily a CR girl forever, but like we did the calendar together, which was so fun.
But how did you go from, you know, LA to a fashion scene?
I was very, very adamant about making a name for myself that had nothing to do with being related to Diana Vreeland.
Yeah.
I wanted
Which
to
Which is
be
your grandmother, right?
Great grandmother.
Oh, it's a great grandmother.
Yeah.
She was in
the
70s,
mother of my grandfather.
The mother of your grandfather. Okay. And she was editor-in-chief of American Vogue in the 60s, right?
Exactly.
In 60s. Okay.
And Harper's Bazaar too.
Yeah.
And she kind of started the everything, the costume stuff at the Met.
At the Met. Yeah, I read that. Do you think it shaped you in some kind of way or?
It definitely did because I was, like I said, I was so anti getting my foot in the door before we had the term Nepo baby, like that
Nepo
whole thing.
Nepo baby, yeah.
I
you
was
don't
like,
want to be a Nepo baby.
I just wanted to make my own thing. I wanted to do my own, have my own sound, have my own voice, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And when my team said, why are you not, you
using
know,
that
using,
name.
Mm-hmm. using your access to this world, this elite world of fashion, like why wouldn't we use that to promote the music? And so I said, okay, that seems reasonable. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So then I signed with Next and kind of with like their talent board. And that's when everything started to kind of flow together because
Next agency model name.
Yeah, here. I must have been 23 or something like that. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to do editorials. I'm going to do jobs with brands. And that's when I started to realize I felt like I was much more, I was a character more so than just.
You're not a model. They'll probably kick you out of the set.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. The first shoot I had was for Vogue Italia, and it was with Michelle Comte. And poor guy, he stood there staring at me through the glass when I was getting my hair done for 2 hours. And finally he said, like, I'm sorry, but I just can't. It was a bikini shoot. And the other girl was like,
Model.
Yes,
at
normal.
That time.
Not normal, but model style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were. I was looking at the rack, and I was like, I don't know how they think anything is going to even remotely cover one sliver of my areola. Like that's just not.
What
happening.
Is your boob size now that you're pregnant?
Oh, Big Mama is like up to like 36G, I'd say.
G.
Before I was like a 32, 34 F.
F. So you over D's,
over D.
double D's, triple
over
D's.
Four times D. Throw some D's on it.
We love the D.
They are, but let's, I mean, we should get into that because these boobs, God bless them. They are paying for my new real estate ventures, let's just say.
Okay, so.
Because
do you want to talk about
it? I've been excited to. So
forget the fashion, forget the singing. After you move to Canada, I'm going to lead it to it. After you move to Canada, you needed to make money, right?
Yes.
Because you have a big family now. I know your husband works really, really hard, but I know you like to work too.
It's so important to me. I wouldn't be comfortable not having like my own thing. And with all the brand jobs and stuff that it led to in fashion and everything, I was used to doing really well for myself, you know?
And yeah, I remember.
To the point where I think I almost emasculated some men that I had dated because that's a hard thing, you know, to see like a girl like killing it like that. And so when the pandemic hit, it wasn't like I'm out of money and I need to figure out what I'm going to do. You know me, I have always wanted to be like sexy mommy. Like mommy likes to be sexy.
You like to be sexy.
But I would do it for free on my Instagram. I would post like, you know, lingerie and like implied nudes and everything on my, and I love that. Like I love my body, and especially now pregnant, I'm like feeling the best. I just love to show it. It's never been a taboo thing for me. So when someone was like, oh, you should do OnlyFans, I was like, yeah, but there's such a sexual like stigma with like sex work and everything. And where would I fit into that? Because I wouldn't be showing that kind of thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see what happens with it. Newsflash, best thing I ever fucking did. For the first, so I've started 3 years ago. For the first 3 years, I never showed anything. But everyone was like, but you, I mean, you and
I. You started OnlyFans.
You and I were nude in the CR calendar.
Yeah, we were.
There's been editors, magazines I shall not name right here, but we'll talk about it later. I was told, you know, yes, you're shooting with nothing, but there will be a censored bar over everything. Cut to the magazine comes out. It's full. I'm fully my tits. But the point is to say that I started to realize that I had been, I even did the piece in Purple where I wrote the article about pregnancy.
That was beautiful pictures. They were like naked, but you were like not naked. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah. And so for me, I was like, well, why would I be putting something like that out there for free? When I'm not getting, I mean, of course I'm getting something out of it, but I'm not really getting a financial gain out of it. So just 2 months ago, I decided I'm gonna show them because you know what? They're fucking hot. They look great. I'm 35. Like they look amazing. I'm proud. Like, and Nico shoots it for me. He literally like gets a boner while we shoot. It's like sexy. We love it. He's like, you're such a badass bitch. Like you're literally shooting once a week. Or twice a week and wait, you're able to be with your child.
Doing it pregnant as well. Oh,
so my main thing is doing it when I'm pregnant.
And people are into it?
That's what they like.
Wow.
I don't know. I think it's me too. I think I exude this sense of, because it's so much more than just like gratuitous sex.
Yeah.
Plus I'm choosing everything how the shoot is. Like I do a Marie Antoinette theme. Like we do like a sexy dominatrix latex thing.
That's the shoots that you've been doing lately.
So yes.
I was wondering, what is she shooting? You know,
the baby always bump. For that.
So wait, you started OnlyFans about how many years ago?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. And that's been paying your bills.
Way more than any huge contract from any big brand I ever worked with. And I was killing it.
So you're killing it. You make shitloads of money on OnlyFans. And you're raising your family in
Canada. Well, now the plan is to invest everything in, we're going to start doing real estate.
Okay.
So.
Well, hold on. We really want to know about it. So 2 months ago, you showed just your breasts.
Yes.
Okay. So you're still keeping the bottom part to yourself.
There's no need for that.
Okay.
At least not yet.
Well, bravo. What can I say?
Thank you. It feels so good. Wow. I'm like. Again, like who knows what'll happen with this baby? Like he'll be suckling at the teat.
Yeah.
These things could go crazy. Who knows? But for now, like I literally feel so beautiful. I feel
so
at
beautiful.
The height of my femininity. I feel sexy. I feel energized by it. It's fun. Like I get to be in control of it. You know, I have an all-girl team. Like we have our little glam moments. We make a mood board. We choose what we want to do. And it's fucking fun. And it's enables me to live the life I want. And
I mean,
it's
I know,
all in my control.
I know some of the girls make like ridiculous amount of money on it. Like ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, it's great.
Should I start OnlyFans? Like honestly.
I'm saying it's great. It can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of girls that I know, I think could kill it on there, but they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because of like the stigma that it has. But in my, it works so well for us. We're so happy with it. Like, I couldn't be happier.
I think it's really brave, and I think it's very now. Like the woman can do whatever fuck she wants, and no one have to apologize for it. You know,
I was doing it for free in fashion magazines, or doing it for free on my Instagram. So, why not have like a place where people who really are committed to seeing the things that I put out are offering that. Like,
That's actually a good point. Like, my boobs is out there on the internet, and what do I get out of it?
Yeah. That's the kind of how I started to feel. And on the days when I'm like, wait, is this the right thing to do? Nico's always like, what do you want to do? I'm like, raise my babies and watch Love Island on the couch. He's like, you have that situation set up for yourself. You're a boss.
Yeah.
Like, having his support really helps. Like, I could not have done it.
He doesn't judge you. He loves it.
Oh, he's into it.
He's into it.
He would not be involved in it, but like, he likes to take the photos and he likes the support that I'm doing it. Is people he like ask a, for that.
Well, I'm sure they do. Yeah, I'm sure they do. I mean, maybe that's the next step. I don't know. But
I don't know if I could ever take it that
far. Throw it out there. But is he a good photographer?
He is.
Was he always into photography?
Please log on and take a look, and I'll show you.
I mean, you have the other two probably who are going to log on over here. No?
Not I don't think fans. I have a... Yeah, no, you're good.
You're good. They're like, not pregnant lady. Too young for
that. Oh, no. Pregnancy, I swear to God, it's like the most erotic... Not erotic, because you don't want to sexualize it, but... I really do feel so fucking feminine, and it works.
What are you gonna do with your boobs after they?
I'm gonna come to you for advice. I don't know. Like, you've had two. You tell me what happens. I'm not sure.
Well, actually, I'd never share that, but it's not really a big secret. I did have a breast lift after
the second.
Mm-hmm. After the second, so you know, my boobs were also big, not as big as yours, you know, but they were a good size. And after two breastfeeding for long time, they were kind of low.
Yeah.
So I lifted them. I'm very happy about it.
I'm so scared to go under the knife, but I know that I want to be able to like take it back, but like kind of feel that
Well, they're not going to look like this after breastfeeding, because when you're pregnant, they're just like full, you know?
They're literally burnt. I can't even like keep them inside any of what's happening here.
But maybe yours, because they're so big, maybe nothing will happen to them. But I think eventually, I think it was one of the best things I ever done in my life.
Really?
I'm so glad
you felt it had a good result from it.
It's just like I have, a T scars, which is from breast lift. I didn't do it to enlarge my boobs. It was under, it's around the nipple, and it's down.
It's a big very scar. Visible. I will go in the bathroom and take a look.
Yeah, I can show you.
Please.
One of the breasts like healed really well, and the other one, they have to kind of just cut the skin and fix it a little bit, because you never know how it will heal.
Yeah.
But it's the best thing I've done. I feel so good in my body.
Good.
My husband loves it. Again, he just like plays with it. I'm like, don't squeeze too much. My pop. But yeah, it's probably the best thing I've done. So if you ever feel like you kind of want that again.
I always thought like maybe I would consider getting a reduction. All my life I kind of thought of that, but I don't know what will happen. I'm just kind of taking it. We'll see.
I mean, you're so far away from that, at least 2 years. Like, you can't really do anything for 3 months and then another. Well, my doctor in Miami is amazing, Dr. Salinas. I was not promoting anyone, but I've met every doctor in LA. And like, I met him and it was just love at first sight.
It's important.
He's amazing, yeah.
So, maybe I'll have to, I don't know what'll happen, but we'll see. I feel like they have been such an integral part of like my, it's funny when you're kind of known for your boobs.
Yeah.
And that's why the breastfeeding thing was so hard for me, because I was like, here I am, Miss Titties, USA, everyone knows these boobs. And then they're not doing the one thing that like they're meant to do. And that's why I was so
heartbroken
about it. It was hard. But of course, then the milk started to come. And once I accepted that I was just pumping and that was it was okay. But I'm really hoping I can get the new baby to latch on and
listen,
do that.
This is kind of our other topic of the conversation, but the two kids, they're so different. He's going to be so different. Your delivery is going to be so different.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to see what's going to be like.
The way he's going to be, it's so different. The way he's going to walk, the way he's going to like crawl and eat and do everything. Like, Gia even moves different. You know what I mean? Even the way you hold him when they're baby. Honestly, he was like all long and linking. Gia all like squishy. Like, it is so different.
It's funny because we never really knew what is baby behavior and what is Miro's personality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to get to
see. He might
be
crazy like you. You know what I mean? Miro might be
chill. Let's hope for it. We all need a little bit of it. Yeah, Miro's so chill. He's definitely dad energy. He's definitely a daddy's boy.
He is. Sometimes, wow.
It was kind of hard for me, to be honest, because yeah. I'm like, why don't you need me more? Yeah. When he needs comfort, he goes straight to Nico.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I'm obsessed with Nico, and he came out of me. So clearly he's going to be obsessed with Nico.
He really is, absolutely.
Yeah. But I think, obviously, those things shift and change. But also, I'm thrilled that he has a good relationship with his dad. I never had a close relationship with my dad, so... For me to see that, I'm like, that's a blessing. That
Nico is a really good dad, right?
Literally, when they have this crazy thing in Canada, which I didn't even know existed, mm-hmm. called the CLSC, mm-hmm. and like they literally came to, it's like this nice older woman who's a nurse. She shows up at your house to check on you after the baby comes. Like, I was like, who is this? And they care if I'm alive or dead. Not used to that in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Even when she came and she was looking through her notes, oh, Caroline, oh, yes, you're the one with the attentive husband.
Aww.
Like, that is the note she wrote down.
Because they do care about the depression.
They were like, postpartum. We see,
yeah.
That's what mm-hmm. it was. They were coming to check, which, by the way, I've never felt a depressed day in my life. I'm a very optimistic, positive person.
I don't even ask you this question because I didn't think so.
When the baby came, no, but I had it.
What?
Yeah.
You did?
I did.
Stop it.
It was only 2 weeks.
Wow.
But,
what was it for you?
I've heard from people in my life who I know go through depression. I've heard the example be made that it's like being in the bottom of a hole that you can't climb out of. And I never could resonate with that. I never understood that. When those first 2 weeks happened and the breastfeeding thing wasn't working out,
you were frustrated.
I felt behind. I felt like we're running out of time.
Yeah.
We're not in a race. Like, who are we waiting? Who's there? It was not a rational thought. But
it was just your guilt about, especially your boobs, because it's you. Your boobs is you. You know what I mean?
You're a mom now. Yeah. Like, why can't you do you're supposed to do, keep the baby alive? Yeah. Hello, if there wasn't formula, would my baby be dead? Like, I had such... Yeah. And then Nico and I, like I said, we were arguing about the formula, and so it was challenging, but I had never known those depths. It went away after the sleep came back and everything, thank God.
This sleep deprivation is
I have a whole newfound appreciation for that, because like, you can't talk yourself out of it.
No.
It was so weird that my whole life I was like, it's all good. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And with this, I was like, I think he'll die and I think I'll die. It was such a strange thing. Now that I know that that won't happen, and now that I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully I won't feel the same. But
you know, second baby might just latch on the second he's born, you know? Tell us a little bit about your experience with delivery.
So I was that bitch that was like, I'm from LA.
Yeah.
I don't want anything. I don't even want an IV. I'm going to do it like... I was watching those orgasmic birth and all that shit. I was like, put me out back on my hands and knees.
Yeah.
Like, I even told my doctor, who's like an angel, and she was the best ever. How dare you tell me that you just want to give me to give birth on my back because it's more convenient for your positioning? And she's like, well, yeah, Caroline, but we do that because that's how we learn to anticipate the issues.
Yeah.
God forbid something goes wrong.
Yeah.
That's how we know how to intervene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not from behind, upside down. Makes perfect sense. So anyway, I went in. I didn't have anything going on. I did like 4 hours of contractions.
You never told me about this story, so I'm really excited.
Well, what happened was his due date was 2/2/22. And so on that night, I did acupuncture, like the lower back acupuncture that when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor said, you know, the baby's big. We don't want to wait too long. But we didn't know just how big he was going to be.
Was your belly super big?
Huge.
At that point?
Yeah. Okay. They thought he would be 8 pounds. He was 10.1 pounds.
I know.
And he came out on the day of. So imagine 2 weeks later would have been.
He was on his due date, or you got induced?
I didn't get induced. I felt that my water had broken. I thought something was dripping.
Okay.
I mean.
Something.
Let's be honest, it's constantly wet down there. Yeah. I'm always either peeing and coughing, sneezing, peeing.
We were just talking about it every time. I don't want to.
Still now.
I sneeze. Every time I sneeze, I pee myself.
Thank you.
So
sometimes it drips all the way down the pant leg, and you're standing there thinking, what kind of slug have I become? But anyway, we're working on our Kegels.
No, there is a treatment now that I was explaining an hour ago. It's like, looks like an ultrasound. They put it in there. And it tightens everything. It's kind of like a laser, like you do for your face to tighten it. It's for your muscles.
I may need this because...
We all need it.
I did the pelvic floor specialist, and I know I should be doing it now.
As Kegels?
I look at you, doing the tightening.
It's like it's annoying to do them, no?
It's counterintuitive because you're supposed to inhale at the time you release... Or it's not the way you think it should be. We're both doing them now. But I knew something different was dripping. I was like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I think my water's broken. And my doctor was like, just go into the triage in the hospital and just see. And I literally had my beanie and my car keys, nothing else. I didn't have the hospital bag or any of that shit. And she was like, the water is like one of the layers of the sac is broken and we have to go into labor now because otherwise it's unhealthy. I'd been having sex and being in the bathtub and stuff. So
you have.
She said
so
it was.
It could be an infection.
Yeah. So she said, like, best that we tear it and we fully and you go in.
Tearing is kind of hurts, huh?
I didn't really. It was right after that when the contraction started that I was like, I told Nico, like, before anything happened, I was really calm. I said, we had just moved into our house and I said, I will need this long list of items. Please go to this box on the left for the eye makeup remover out of this bag. And I was so precise.
You were already in the hospital?
This is when we knew we were going to start the labor then. Mm-hmm. Cut to the contraction start. I was like, I don't care what the fuck you bring. You get your ass back here now. Yeah. He's like driving, like flying on the roads. But I did 4 hours of the contractions and then I begged on my hands and knees for that epidural, which I said.
How many centimeters you were at that point?
Really, I was really dilated. I don't know at that point what I was, maybe 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. I was already pretty far. Yeah. And so that's why I felt more comfortable getting the epidural because I had heard the horror stories of women who aren't dilating fast, get the epidural and then they just don't dilate.
Yeah.
And then that leads to, obviously maybe to a C-section in some cases. So that's what I was nervous about. But they were like, you're steadily, even with the epidural, I was still.
You're dilating, everything is going good and it happened, you know.
I even had my last OnlyFans shoot like 1 or 2 weeks before the birth. And I remember saying to the girls.
So pregnancy is a really like a thing?
Oh, totally. Yeah. They love it. And I love it.
Is there other pregnant?
I don't know. I haven't explored that.
You're the only one.
That would be a good niche for me. I have not explored that.
Because, not to interrupt you about your, birth story, but Brian hates pregnant women. He thinks they're...
There's some people that are very...
He couldn't touch me. We didn't have sex.
Babe, we were on vacation. I heard you going, Brian, down the hall. Like, you guys were having sex.
I was, like, barely pregnant. You know what I mean? But when I had the belly, I was, like, 3 months pregnant. I was, like, so cute. It was, like...
Because they're scared they're going to hurt the baby. Nico sometimes says that.
But then I know other men who are like weirdly obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's a thing.
So
maybe I'm out there repulsing some folks and maybe some folks are into it.
Maybe
but
they're like, ew, but kind of hot, you know.
I've done polls and stuff on there to ask people like what they prefer. Yeah. And that's always very high up there.
Really?
Like number one.
Okay, so you're in a hospital. You're 6 centimeters dilated.
Yeah, so...
How did you push the 10-pound baby out of
your
vagina?
That was the easy part. For some reason, the pushing was easy. It was the contractions that I couldn't bear. I don't know how you did that without having the drugs.
Anything?
Once I had the drugs, I was like laughing with the nurses, like, pull out my Kodak from my thing and take a picture of my birth canal, baby. Like, they were like, what? I was resting. Like, it was a different story. Yeah. And I couldn't have done it without that. But the pushing was 45 minutes. The thing that happened was I had made Nico watch all those videos of, like, badass birth mother because I wanted him to see breech. I wanted him to see shit coming out of the butt. Ew. I wanted him to see everything so that he was desensitized.
Did anything happen to you?
Yeah.
Really?
They claimed that there was nothing. I was like, something's for sure coming out there. They were like, nope.
No.
I did tear a lot, but not, you know where
you
I didn't?
Did?
I didn't tear down because he had done the massage for like the, we're going to start it when we get back for the next 2 weeks.
Brian refused doing it.
We would be watching like Ted Lasso. He's like down there like this. Like he's, it's not sexy. But that was the one area I didn't tear. I tore up.
What?
Up near the clit.
Oh.
Up. But the head.
Is it more sensitive now? Or the same?
It's the same. I feel.
Did they stitch you?
That's where. Yes, they did. And but that's what happened was. I'll just say that I had him watch all those videos because I wanted him to see that and see what could happen.
Yeah.
And when I watched them, I saw that once the head comes out, for the most part, the body just slithers out.
Yeah.
So I was like, you tell me when the head's coming out. Plus, I had a mirror I could see.
Head is coming out.
Then I know that I'm almost done. Oh but gosh. Miro was so big on his shoulders. He got stuck on his shoulders.
Oh, it happens that they have to.
So they had to kind of.
What?
Pull him out like that. And he had this little brachial plexus thing where he had the little hand. I was so out of it. I would never have noticed. But Nico was like, something's wrong. He grew out of it.
And
we
they
did
put
like
it back?
Well, it was a nerve thing that they, it was injured here, so it injured him all the way down.
Babe.
And he totally outgrew it. We did little practices, bending and stuff, and now he's normal hands.
I was so scared of that it would happen to one of my kids, and it happened to you. I had no idea.
Yeah, it was scary, because that happens when the mother is like on the smaller side and the baby's big. And now they told me I should be careful, it might happen again, so.
You know, they kind of like break a shoulder. They kind of dislocate the shoulder for the baby to come out.
That's, I think, maybe the territory we were in when it was happening. And then no one told me that the minute they're on you and everyone's, look at the baby. I'm like, I don't see shit right now. Like, I'm like looking at Nico, like, is everything good?
Yeah.
And then they start sewing. I didn't know that extra stitch is happening. Oh, but I didn't get the extra stitch.
Oh, yeah,
I did. Just the stitches where, like, the tearing. I couldn't feel it, but I was like, yo, you guys, like, I know you're near my clit because that part I can feel. But
you,
like,
you could.
I couldn't feel pain, but I could feel pressure, and I knew that they were near that area. Yeah. It's a weird area to be.
So when you were recovering, did it hurt to go to the bathroom or anything, or it was just?
It wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
And I did that little sitz bath thing. That was nice to have 15 minutes where you just sit there and you soak your puss.
Mine wasn't so bad. I had one or two stitches, and that was it. Yeah.
And then the second one.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing happened. It's all stretched.
I know. That's the thing that's different now. I'm like, I used to have this cute little like, and now it's like a roaring big thing with like, it's like a muscle, you know? Yeah,
no, we need to go and do that thing, the ultrasound thing. That ultrasound.
You have to keep me updated on like the latest.
I will.
Things for that, because.
Okay, so babe, how do you feel that your relationships with your group friends changed after having a baby?
It's totally different. Yeah. It totally changed. You just don't really feel that you have time to talk about those other things that you used to talk about with friends that don't have kids. Like,
yeah.
I'm not holding it against them that they don't like get where I'm
at.
No,
sure not. Yeah.
But it's totally a separating factor. Of course, the good close friends will always make an effort and come see you. I know I moved to Canada. It's kind of far and hard to come. But the people who have wanted to be a part of my life, even if they're not in the same level as me, like with parenting and stuff, they still made an effort to come. So, but you do sort of see who does and who doesn't. And it's totally changed it. And now I'm like, closer with like my neighbor and my Canadian friends who have kids, or like being able to call you for advice. Yeah. Like, it definitely changed it. But I don't have any resentment towards that. I wouldn't have understood if I didn't have kids and my other friend did. Like, I wouldn't have understood how to, you know, you sent me that video of the girl saying like, well, what does it need? Like talking about the baby, like an it.
It but does like, feel that's like how that. My friends act sometimes who have no kids. They're like, oh, you were like so like a chicken with your kids, like just who cares if they wear like toxic sunscreen or not, they'll like be okay, you know? And I'm like, no.
Well, you can't tell people how to parent. That's like a big thing I learned.
That's like something like could like break it for me, you know? Yeah. Like, don't tell me how to parent my, you know, children. Like,
yeah, it definitely changed. And I think that's okay. I think friendships can ebb and flow, and you can find yourself distanced a little bit from someone you might have been really close to for many years. And that's okay. You know, it's not always, sometimes it is painful and you're like, well, why hasn't this person visited me or met my son?
Yeah.
But they're on their own journey too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. Maybe when they have kids,
they'll understand.
Yeah. So you're happy.
Very.
You seem really happy, and I'm really proud of you. Again, I'm really proud of both of us, the two party animals. You know, have this beautiful kids.
Yeah, I don't want people to think like you have to be stuck in one thing of what people think of you. That's so not it.
It's so fucked
up. Be and do everything. Yeah. Try everything. Say yes to life.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Trust yourself.
Even after you have kids, you know, you have your OnlyFans journey, whatever it is for me or for Svetlana or other girl, you know. It's just, you have to do what's in your heart and stay true to yourself, really important. And be a good mother, which you're an amazing mother and you're an amazing wife. And I'm really, really proud of you. And I'm happy you found someone who accepts you for who you are, you know?
It's rare, but when you find it, you have to stick with that, because you don't want to spend your whole time trying to fit into their impression of you or what they want of you. That's not a life, at least not for me.
But also, you don't have to think about what other people think of you, right?
I live in Canada now, man. I wear Uggs every day. I'm like, think what you want. I moved there with all my stuff. I started to go on the cobblestones with all my heels, and people were like, that's not...
You did?
Yeah. It's not a thing there. People are not dressed up there, not at all.
Aspen is the same. I wear Uggs every day.
Did you think we would end up in, like,
That's why
quiet
I'm like,
towns,
no.
Not quiet towns, but not
I mean,
LA,
like,
New York.
Imagine us in the mountains, or you're like in Canada.
I love us.
It's just like,
oh. Oh, we're gonna buy our cottage. The boys are gonna have like nature. Like it's gonna be
yeah,
a whole
it's,
different life.
You
and
know,
I love that. You would never have thought that.
Kids should play with leaves and like they should never go to fucking Disneyland.
Oh, I told Nico, like, I was like, I want them to come home with like a stinky worm and be like, Mommy,
yeah,
I got you a
sure.
worm. I would
for
say
sure.
throw the worm out, but I'll be very glad.
You can dry them and make like things, arts and crafts. Why not? Yes. Babe, thank you so much for joining. It means
thank
a lot
you.
For us to have you here, and love you.
Love you too.